All right, let's pray. Lord, again, Lord, we just love you, Lord. We thank you again for today, Lord. We thank you for being so good to us, Lord. We just thank you for this country we were born in, Lord, at least that we live in right now, Lord, and just ask you, Lord, to help us do right. Say that soul nears to hell. In Jesus' name, amen. So 4th of July, of course, is an awesome holiday, amen. And if you know your history, it's an amazing holiday. And it's a type of the Christian about getting freedom, amen, and what it meant. So, of course, man isn't perfect. Our Constitution isn't a Bible, but it's a pretty cool document anyway, amen. I challenge you all here not only to continue reading your Bible daily as you should, but maybe this weekend, you know, you're proud to be American, you puff your chest out when you see a flag and you hear the songs. Have you ever read the Constitution, amen? Do you actually know what freedoms you have as an American? Okay, so it's something to look into and look at. Because I guarantee if I took a survey in the room, the few people that are here today, if I were to ask, does the Constitution say that there has to be separation from church and state? Everyone would say yes, or half of you would. That's nowhere in the Constitution, amen. If you read your Constitution, that's not in the Second Amendment anywhere in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. A Baptist church complained years ago, wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson because they heard a rumor that he was going to make I think it was the Congregationalist or Church of the Brethren, the national church. He wrote a letter back, said that he believed there should be a strong separation from church and state, that the state should never run the church. And then here in the 50s and 60s, some lawyer used that term. All the liberals and lazy Americans went along with it. So in Texas and Virginia, up even north, there are Bibles in schools. Local churches go to school, say we want a half an hour where kids can opt to come in and learn the Bible. It's the law. They have that choice. And the school districts don't fight it. They agree with it. One little atheist in Wisconsin has the, I don't know what they call it, the Atheist Union. I don't know what the name of their thing is. And they write letters to all these schools and churches, and people cower in fear. That's right. And they don't know the Constitution. They don't know their law. And they're definitely not reading the good book, their Bible, because they back down. They don't want to offend somebody. So they remove the Ten Commandments, which our whole law was based on the book. So the great thing about Christianity is it's by choice. Eric knocks on doors. Someone tells him where to go, and they don't want to get saved. Eric prays for him. He doesn't come back with a vest and blow them up. Okay? There is a difference. Amen. So we're going to look at the book of Romans today. We started that. I'm going to read chapter 1. And 4th of July weekend, freedom, independence, proud to be an American. And I'm a Christian. Don't get me wrong, I'm a Christian first, but I still get emotional with some of these patriotic songs because I think of how good God's been to me in this country and how many people have given their life for me. So people gave their life for this book too, amen?
Amen.
So we're going to read Romans 1, and then we're going to go through, hit a few verses, and we'll see where we go from there, amen? So the book of Romans, chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read just chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach your gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned their lust one toward another, men with men, working with which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignantly, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we're going to go back to the beginning of Romans 1. I'll tell you, the book of Romans is an awesome book. If you get a chance, you should really try to read it and go through it. I always tell people when they're newly saved or if they're struggling with their Bible reading to read John and Romans. Romans is kind of like a manual on how to live as a Christian and how you need to act and what you need to do. So it's kind of neat. Brother Justin, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, talked about going to the gym. And it was funny because I remembered in my business, I work in sales with a bank. There was a while there, I had 2 gym memberships. You can see it didn't do a whole lot for me. I was faithful in pain. And I was faithful at times I'd go because I knew certain realtors were going to be there or certain builders were going to be there. And it was expected of me to show my face in this gym because it was a business thing. It was a social thing. It wasn't a real thing. And it just kind of made me laugh because I was thinking about it. But I was going through the last week or two, going through the Romans and stuff, looking at different things. And the gym kept popping into my head. Not only do I probably need to probably eat a little healthier and exercise, but it's just the Christian life is a work. It's not a work of salvation. Salvation isn't a work. Works send you to hell. They don't send you to heaven. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But once you get saved, because you love the Lord and you're thankful, then you start working. You start doing things. You start changing things. And the gym, as I said, kept kind of popping in my head. So first I'm going through Paul, who we follow, you know, in this New Testament salvation that we're under. It's kind of like the trainer. And I'm thinking, what's even better? We got a backup trainer, which is even better than Paul, the Holy Spirit, that comforts us and says, instead of doing 3 more reps, he's saying, don't wear that. Don't say that. Don't watch that. Don't do that. And we hear it. We hear it in our heart. We don't have the advantage of the Old Testament because we're not Jew. We don't have the signs to see the things. But if you're reading and God's speaking to you, it's awesome. You got that pressure. It's a good pressure if you yield to it and work with it because it's going to build you stronger and it's going to help you. but it's a blessing. So I wanted to go back real quick and real quickly just comment on verse 3. I kind of rambled through it last week really fast, going through about David according to the flesh. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So I hit a lot of verses last week, and I just wanted to kind of wrap it up real fast, where we went through the Bible, and we looked at the lineage of Christ. So he's got two lines, through his earthly father that was not his biological father, and then Mary who brought him into this world, who God used as a vessel. So when we hit Mary, it talks about Joseph and Heli back in Matthew, and I gave those verses last week. So if you guys follow those back, Heli is Mary's dad, goes back to Nathan, David's son, which is Mary's great-great-great-great-grandfather. So through the seed of David, through Nathan down through Mary, Jesus Christ fulfills prophecy. It's not through Joseph, because Joseph going back, I don't know the guy's name, Jeconiah, I can't say it, in Jeremiah with the curse, Jesus, we can't give him credit coming through Joseph's line. So it's there, but he's not of Joseph. That's the whole thing with Christianity. And there's a verse here we'll hit in a minute, but Buddhists parade their God, I forget his name, his bones around. Muslims go and stare at Muhammad's bones. Some of my Catholic family go and they kiss the skeleton ring of some pope, or they touch the skeleton foot bone of some pope. If you find a bone of Jesus Christ, our religion's a lie, because he rose from the grave. Christianity is a religion where we believe right here, as we're looking at now, we're going to go into verse 4, that Jesus Christ is God. So let's read verse 4 here in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. So we're going to flip over real quick to the book of John. I mentioned this last week. Actually, no, I lied. We'll go there in a minute. Let's change my mind just like that. Ask my wife. It's rough. All the time. I want this. No, I don't want that. I want that. Let's go to Acts. Let's look at Acts 2. Acts is right before Romans. Acts 2, verse 29. So let's see what Peter says here in Acts 2, verse 29. And men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So we'll go through all the different witnesses here in a bit. But what is the gospel? Amen. Why is Christianity any different? True Christianity isn't the crusaders with a sword at someone's head telling them to convert. That's not Bible Christianity. That's movie. That's my family, where I grew up, their church, where their church taught and pushed and still believes to this day. But that's not Bible Christianity. Well, brother, I don't really care what the book says. I feel this way. I don't care what the book says. I think this. Does God care what you say? He loves you. He cares about you. He wants your thoughts to be his thoughts. But the problem is we have to have a final authority. We don't have a man in a dress. When I was a kid, someone would say to one of the priests, God, he'd say, yes, son. I'd let him kiss his hand. Nowhere in my book here does anyone take worship except Jesus Christ or the devil. So it's just crazy how we think and how we act. But here, Peter's talking about David's dead. So people, you know, you watch the TV, the news, your dancing shows, and your music movies, and you're listening to your country, and all that stupid filth, and you get it in your head, and you get all the world in your head, and, oh, Muslims and Christians, they're all the same. They all worship the same God. We're all one happy family. No, we're different. Now, I'm not ever going to advocate going out and killing Muslims because they don't agree with us. What we do is we put our money where our mouth is, and we pay for missionaries, and we send Bibles and tracts to convert them. If they don't convert, we pray for them to convert. We don't blow them up. We don't kill them. We don't burn them alive. We don't stone them. So our faith is Jesus Christ died, and he rose again. He wasn't a normal man. It's a mystery. We don't understand everything. It's amazing what you can understand if you start looking, though. But he's born of a virgin. Now, of course, in church, you can say the word virgin, and people get a little upset. Either because it's not a good word to say in church, which actually is a very good word. I wish we used the word virgin more often. But do you ever talk to your child about what a virgin is? I'm not saying talking to a two-year-old kid, of course, but there comes a time where through this word, you got to talk to your kid about some things. You don't talk to him, his friends are. The movies you let him watch is talking to him. You know what I mean? The family parties, they're talking to him. People think kids are stupid. I can tell you, I work with a lot of kids. They're not stupid. They're sponges. They suck up everything. I could probably go to the kids in my class, and I could find out if I was going to be wicked and deceitful. I could find out where every gun in your house was, every person you talk to, because kids know everything. People forget they're there. Kids hear everything. They see everything, bad and good. So we should take advantage of that when they're young and teach them the truth and teach them right and let them know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and a virgin's a good thing. I had a niece years ago. She's still my niece. I still have her. She's got a lot of kids and a lot of problems right now, but she was in school. She was saved. She was a virgin at the time. She was at a concert, but it was at a school. They called it an assembly because it was during taxpayers' time with a rapper there, and the rapper started making jokes about sleeping around. And these are high school kids, 16, 17, 18 years old. And she says, are there any virgins in the house? My niece jumped up, and one other girl, out of 500 people. He ridiculed them and mocked them. A year and a half later, she gave in to the devil, got pregnant, and whatever. Hopefully she's doing right now. But the world is against Christianity. The world is against being clean. The world is against Jesus Christ. It's funny. Muslims go into a restaurant over the weekend, and they kill 20-some people because they can't quote the Quran or do something. Yet we're told Islam's a religion of peace. A Christian stands out on a corner and says, can I give you something about Jesus? And we're told we're bigots and we're haters. Doesn't make sense. If you really pay attention and read it and look into it, you're going to see that this world is upside down right now. Whoever thought, 2 + 2 = 4. Make sure I say that slow there. 2 + 2 = 4. So whoever thought that some guy, born a man, maybe he likes feminine colors or maybe he likes soft music, whatever. He's still a man. But one day something happens to him where he gets a funny urge to want to maybe mess with kids or mess with women or do whatever. So he says, I'm going to put on a dress and say I'm a woman and you have to accept this. And everyday people in the world, okay, you're born a man, but you feel like a woman, you're a woman. We're going to believe it. It's like the wolf coming into the sheep and saying, I'm a sheep. Why is common sense dead? And why is Christians and Americans with freedom of speech, amen, look in your constitution tomorrow, why do we not stand up for what's true? I'm not saying we grab a gun and shoot somebody, but we can vocalize what the truth is. And the truth is this country has gone crazy. It's still the greatest country in the world, but here lately it's gone really crazy. I know I'm totally getting off. I need to get back. We're supposed to be doing a study of the book of Romans. So Jesus Christ is God. That's a big thing in our religion. He's not a prophet or just a man or just somebody. Scientologists or Church of Christian Science, I get them, all the cults, they're all crazy. I get them all mixed up. But they believe that you can do good works and then you can become a god. Scientology, Tom Cruise, if you read about that, I think it was Hubbard, a science fiction writer, wanted a way to get around taxes and paying money for his race cars and all his books. So he created a fake religion about an alien inside of you that's going to rip open one day. And Tom Cruise and all these people and John Travolta all jump into it. It's a great way to save money on taxes by having a church you can donate to. And then some of them get really caught up in it. Just like you watch people watch Star Wars or Star Trek or something, and there's something they idolize or they think is so neat, they start thinking it's real, and they start daydreaming and fantasizing about it, and it becomes real. They have no basis. They don't have anything that's been proven or tested over time, but you can't tell them how they feel. That's mean. I can tell you what works. I can tell you what the truth is, amen. I know that much. I can't tell you how pizza makes it feel, but I would say it'll pass here. Give it some time. Or some Tums, maybe. Sam's Club ones are much better, but. So here, declared to be the Son of God. So John 3:16, we'll hit John 3:16 real quick. Everyone knows this verse. John 3:16. Every football game or soccer game, you can see people holding up John 3:16. As a kid, I never knew what that was. I thought it was like a phone number or there was some guy's name, John. I had no idea what it was until I got saved. But amen, there's probably some people that Google it or ask Siri or whoever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you can never say that verse enough. But there's two parts to it that we really want to focus on. Everlasting life. Everyone has their retirement these days, their 401k or their stocks. It's all crashing, your annuities. It's all a mess. But you're putting faith in something for your future. George Washington died at 67. He's been dead over 200 years. We're going to be dead longer than we were alive. So if I'm going to put stock and worry about my future, it's okay to put some stuff for why I'm here, but I'm going to study it out and research it and find out about eternity. Because I'm not just going to be worm food. I've got a soul. It's going to go somewhere. So it says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A lot of the Bibles take out begotten. So Jesus Christ was God's only begotten son. Now, when we get saved, we kind of get, you know, we're supposed to have the image of Christ and be Christ-like. When we go to heaven, of course, we're going to look like him and be like him. But begotten, Jesus Christ was actually from God. We're not going to get all into it because I don't understand it all, but God made Mary pregnant. He didn't do anything filthy or dirty. God placed the seed in her for Jesus Christ to grow. But Jesus Christ was here before that. It's weird. You got to really get into your Bible to see it. But that's a great thing about Christianity. Jesus Christ is God. And I say that a few times because a lot of people think he was just a cool guy. You know, he was smoking a doobie or had dreads or something. No. So let's take a look here. Looking at 3 and 4, we know that God is real and he's a real God. We just read in Acts about Peter saying that David's dead and buried, but Christ isn't. Christ rose. Amen. So let's take a look here and see from John. Go on, everlasting life. See, I need to start bringing my glasses more. But so 4, he declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection from the dead, I keep hitting that. It's a big thing in Christianity that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Christianity isn't following the teachings of Jesus. A lot of people, oh, well, Jesus taught this and Jesus said this. That's not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead. That's our gospel. We're not going to walk and talk and act like Jesus to get to heaven. We're going to accept that he died for us, admit that we're a sinner, right? Believe he died for us and call on him, and then we might get some attributes and start acting Christ-like. But Paul gives us a guideline of how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. So the resurrection completes the gospel. That is the gospel, Jesus Christ rising from the dead. So let's take a look here. By the resurrection from the dead, let's go to Acts 13. And we'll just jump right to 33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. And it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So let's from here, let's go over to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Now, what am I doing repeating myself 10 times and showing these different verses? I'm trying to back Scripture up with Scripture. So let's go to right to verse 7, Psalm 2, 7. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So there was some prophecy in the Old Testament talking about Jesus Christ coming. Now, let's go ahead and see where we're going to jump next. I'm going to jump you guys all around here. We're going to go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance ordained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said on, let me see guys, I'm falling asleep in my eyes. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So we'll stop right there and begotten. So the resurrection. Let's go to Hebrews 11:33. Hebrews 11:33. If I can find it. All right. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others who had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. First of all, when I read that, I'm thinking, wow, as an American Christian, you have no reason to complain about anything, amen? We have it pretty good. We might go through some bad sufferings and some bad times, most of which is our own fault, our own choice. My grandfather died of lung cancer, and he was upset as he was smoking his cigarette, didn't understand why he was dying of lung cancer. It was his own choice. He chose to live that way. God gives us free will. And in America, we have free will. Amen. So let's take a look at 1 Peter 1:3. I'll start in verse 1. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. So this is actually our gospel, amen. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. So here, we have an eyewitness account. Over 500 people saw Christ after he was killed. So this backs up that Christ died and he rose again the third day. We have 500 witnesses here. You can go back and George Washington. No one's ever seen a photograph of George Washington. We've seen paintings. We've seen pictures. You can ask people about Nero. Or you can go back as far as you can think of some famous general or somebody, and you can ask people in the street when you're talking to them or at their houses, oh, I saw a picture of so-and-so. Camera wasn't even invented. You saw a painting. You saw a portrait or a painting or a likeness. So here we have 500 eyewitnesses that Jesus Christ was walking around after he was crucified. So there's something into that, amen. That backs up our religion. Why is it that scientists in the world and the TV shows are always trying to find Jesus' bones, always trying to find his grave, always trying to make up some stupid, ridiculous story that him and Mary got together and had kids? The world's always trying to throw something, because we know, if you read this book, we know who the prince of this world is, amen, and what the devil wants to do to our faith. And why is it American Christians, with all the technology we have, are some of the most depressed Christians out there? You go to China, go to Haiti where Maurice is. Go to some of these countries where Christians get saved and they lose their fortunes, they lose their families, they lose their belongings, they're persecuted by the government, and they don't have internet. And they're happy, and they love God, and they're willing to go out and give a tract to a Muslim, to go witness to some Bushman, to go and do something for Jesus Christ. But here in America, we've got everything. We're fat and happy. But we're depressed, we complain, we're angry, we're bitter, we're mad. It's someone else's fault, it's this, it's that. We need to read the book of Romans a little more, amen, and pay a little more attention. And read about Paul, the things Paul went through. Paul hated Christians. His name was Saul. I've said this before, most of you guys know this, but I don't know if we think about it enough or dwell on it. He hated Christians. He was out to kill Christians. He wanted to get the letters. He didn't care. He was holding the coach of the guys that stoned Stephen with a smile on his face. He probably taught those guys. And they're following through. They're doing what they believe. Saul gets saved, changes his name to Paul, and he gets saved. And he goes a different way. Big thing. I always try to tell the kids, if someone gets saved, there should be a turn. Turn away from it. There should be a difference. My wife and I are not perfect by any means. But when we got saved, our family saw something. Now, maybe it was the outward things. Maybe it was no more drinking and partying and all the filth of the world. Maybe that's all they saw initially. And then they started hearing that we try to change the way we speak. We made mistakes. Sorry, guys, I shouldn't have said that. That's a humbling thing, and it's still hard to apologize to somebody. But we wanted to do right. We wanted to change. The problem is today, whether it's your clothes, your hair, your church, It's all about what makes you feel good. It's never what does God want. It's never seek the Lord in prayer. Well, I'm not going to ask God because he might give me an answer I don't like. So reading the book of Romans, I think, I would encourage you guys all to read the book of Romans. First of all, when you read more about Paul, you'll think I'm nice and sweet and I'm not that hard. But you'll also start seeing some things in there about us Christians. It's going to maybe push you to work a little harder. Maybe there's a music you're listening to that you're unsure of. If you're unsure, maybe it's a no for now. God, I really like this song. It's depressing about whiskey and a wife leaving and my dog left and my horse is dying, but I still like it, Lord. Should I listen to it? Maybe you shouldn't. I'll tell you, as I'm closing here, this is just me here, but my experience. When I was out in the world and going to the Kiss concert and the George Strait concert, it was the same dealers at both concerts. It was the same crack whores at both concerts. It was the same punks and pimps. And I want them all to get saved, and I love them all, but I want you all to know, you look down at one side or the other, that rhythm, that music, that flesh, that beat brings the same people. Doesn't matter what you call it. You got, little rich white kids now that have never been in a city, never had any problem, and they're rapping about cops, and they're cussing and cussing. It's all the same filth. So we need to get in our book more. We need to see what Paul says about some things and what the book says about some things. And then we need to take the opportunity we have in this country and our freedom to be an American, to make the free choice and just admit it at the end of the day. God, I know what's right, and I'm choosing not to do it, or I know it's right. Help me. I'm struggling to do it. Amen. Lord, I love you, Lord. I just thank you for your word, Lord. I ask you, please, to help me do better, Lord. I ask you to be with my church. Protect us. Keep us safe, Lord. Thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to live in the greatest country on earth, Lord. Not perfect by any means, Lord, but definitely better than anywhere else out there, Lord. Thank you for all of your freedoms. Just thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for dying for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No matter how much money or looks or good wealth, whatever people think they have, Lord, there's no way to heaven without Jesus Christ. So I thank you for giving us a way, Lord, an easy way just to accept you. Again, I just ask you to save that soul nearest to hell. Be with the preaching this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we got a few minute break, amen.